Turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. It's my final Sunday with you all. That makes me a little sad. But God has put a word in my heart this morning, and I'm going to speak it. It's not your typical farewell message, so if that's what you were hoping for, oops. I don't want this to be about me, and so we're not going to focus much on, I'm not going to focus much on what's going on. I want to speak what God put on my heart. So when I sat down to prepare, I had that in my head, and then God gave me something else. So here we are in Matthew 18 this morning. Interestingly enough, all that we've had this morning, every song choice, every word spoken, God is faithful. They've all tied right in. I got really excited at the back and was laughing out loud. For real, not lol, because we don't even do that anymore. But I was actually... This week at camp, we looked at the theme of being sent, and it was a powerful week, and the Word of God was powerfully brought. Thank you to Jace Levine. He's hiding there in the middle next to Tanner, so now he's not hiding. And Nathan and Austin, they all brought the word this week and challenged us on being sent. Good stuff. But this morning, I'm not going to carry on with that theme, so I'm really breaking a lot of rules. It's not a farewell message, and I'm not carrying on with the theme of being sent. But we're going to talk about children this morning. So again, even the baby dedication fit. It's amazing to me what God can do. I don't normally do topical messages, and it's a tough one for me to always do that, but we're talking about children. We're talking about being the greatest. My message title this morning is The Greatest. Here we go, Matthew chapter 18. I'll read you the first six verses, and then we'll get into it. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." To set up this message, let's quickly look at what we just read and get what it is that Jesus is asking of us. I'm going to break it down a little bit, but I want to just look at this text first as an introduction way. Jesus is being asked a question. His disciples come to him and say, "Who is the greatest?" Like with many of us, the disciples were dealing with a typical theme of competition and trying to determine what had to be done in order to be the greatest. It's not uncommon. We're aware of it. It can be a good thing if it's used properly to strive to be good. But Jesus answers the question differently. He takes a child and puts them in the middle, and this is going to be his object lesson. I like the way Jesus deals with things. He doesn't just preach all the time. He'll just bring an object lesson. Pastor Mel's good at bringing object lessons. Like when there was a tree awkwardly placed in the middle here. And honestly, I came in the sanctuary during the week and thought, did somebody move that wasn't supposed to? And I almost put it back. That would have been a problem. But I thought, no, Mel probably wanted it there on purpose. So, and you did. That was good. See, Jesus takes a child. He's going to teach him using a child as an object lesson. And he puts them in the middle. Jesus doesn't really answer their question like we would want him to or like they wanted him to. He answers the disciples' question strangely and tells them that unless they can find the kind of humility that a child has, they're not even fit for the kingdom of heaven. So he doesn't, the first thing he says is, you want to know who the greatest is in the kingdom of heaven? He said, you're not even in the kingdom of heaven until you can grasp the humility of a child to get in. Like, it takes that kind of humility just to get there. So forget the greatest for a second. To be in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says here, you need to have the humility of this little child. And then he clarifies and says, unless you can have that kind of humility, unless you can take the position of the child, then that's the person that's the greatest. If you want to be the greatest, you have to get to a place where being the greatest doesn't matter, which is a lot of how Jesus does things. It's never quite a straight answer. It's like, well, if you want to be the greatest, you have to not want to be the greatest. And you have to be okay with that. To be the greatest is not something you can aspire to. You must humble yourself, and then you will find greatness. Jesus says it's not about being the greatest, and therefore the greatest is the one who gets this. To be the greatest in God's economy is to not regard yourself as of any importance, but rather hold others in high esteem. Jesus points out that they are asking the wrong question. He does this in other places. He likes to point out that they asked the wrong question. I think that's cool. I do. I heard somebody say one time, if you want to know what to pray for, ask God what to pray for. He has good ideas. You know, and sometimes, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but sometimes you go to God with a question, God, I need you to meet such and such a need. He says, oh, actually, what you need me to meet is this over here. Oh, that's what I meant. Because he knows. Jesus says, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What I want to do this morning is understand, what is that lowly position? What does it mean to humble yourself like a child? I want to deal with two bold statements Jesus is making here. We must change and become like little children. We must change and become like little children if we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And we must take the lowly position or humble ourselves if we're going to be the greatest. How do we do this? What is it like to be like a child? Some attributes of children are not something that we should attempt to imitate. Though if you've been in the church long enough, you've seen them. When he says take the position of a child, he's not looking for whiners. He's not looking for those that throw temper tantrums. When he talks about taking the position of a child, he's not dealing with the things that we do see. And you've in any large group, not just in the church, some of your workplaces, you've seen people who forgot to grow up somewhere. We shouldn't make those a part of our spiritual lives. The attributes I'm going to talk to you about this morning, these are things that they parallel with a lot of what God talks about. Children are dependent. Children are dependent. We need a church of people who are dependent on God. I want you to understand, and I forgot to say it when I started, the things I'm going to give you as attributes are the way we are towards God. And this is important because you shouldn't be dependent on Pastor Mel. You shouldn't be dependent on any church leader, the board members. You shouldn't be dependent on them. they should be dependent on God and lead you to be dependent on God. And I know that that is what happens. The biggest challenge of pastoral ministry is to remember to be dependent on God, because sometimes we can do it real well. Sometimes we can do it real well. We got to be dependent on God. Children are dependent. They're not able to get by on their own. Even the most independent children in some way need their parents' help. If you are a parent of a teenager, you figured that out. They've got it all figured out up until a certain point, and they still need your help. Children are dependent. Too many Christians in the church want to be independent. We attempt to solve all our own problems. We don't want to go to God. We don't want to go to anybody else. We're going to take care of this ourselves. Our Heavenly Father would rather we learned to depend on Him. But hear me, and as a caution, because this is a point, you know, dependent. Sometimes we get so dependent we stop doing anything. And I'm not talking, you've crossed a line there. Dependence on God will always need to be there. If you take this idea of dependence, and you just become so dependent, you're like, well, you don't do anything for yourself anymore. God's got this. You can't be dependent to the point where you are crippled. Because our dependence on God should put us in a place where we're going to do something. I've had to be dependent on God most recently because He's putting me in a new season and bringing me somewhere else. So to be dependent on God means that I have to move somehow, and in this case, it's entirely in faith and step, not really knowing, but knowing where to go and how to, and the direction, not knowing how yet. Dependent. Related to being dependent, children are teachable. They're teachable. A child possesses a willingness to learn that is crucial to their growth. Kids are always asking questions. If more believers asked questions, you know, or looked into the scripture to answer their questions, it wouldn't be quite as messy a place. They seek more knowledge at every opportunity. We as adults get to the point where we don't feel the need to be taught anymore. Certainly in certain areas. Can I challenge you that if you're at a place where you don't need to know anymore about where you are, find out where you got to go next? Because you stopped. Well, I figured it out. You don't need to teach me. Then go find something else to learn. Because you don't know it all yet. Sorry to burst your bubble. Children are teachable. When God challenges us on something, we begin to think about all the other people to whom His word applies. But we fail to apply it to our lives. Can I be real honest with you? Sometimes I do this when I'm writing messages. I'll be honest. You know what's funny though? Those people don't ever show up when I speak them. And I go, oh, God, I wrote that for, and He goes, no, you didn't. Okay. Just being straight with you. Sometimes you're writing a message like, oh, so-and-so needs to hear this. And they're not there. We need to be teachable. We need to be dependent. Children are dependent. That's so important. Here's the next thing. Children are genuine. Children are naturally prone to be genuine. It takes life experience, which can be learned early on, to get to the point where we put on a mask. Yeah, there are kids that have seen things they should never have had to see. We see it in youth and children's ministry. You get kids at camp. They shouldn't have a mask yet. But they've learned to put on a face. They've learned. Do you know that the age of children who really emulate what Jesus is talking about here is getting younger because of the world we're in. Children are genuine. And they prefer genuine people. Children understand what it is to be real. They aren't bothered by prejudice or issues of image. Have you ever observed that about a child? Have you ever thought about that? If you haven't, you probably haven't been involved with kids' ministry. Kids are themselves, whatever that means. And the children's ministry leader, the Sunday school teacher, they come out of there and go, man, they're such a bundle of energy. But that's who they are. And you can ask a Sunday school teacher and they could tell you the different personalities. Because a kid isn't afraid to be who they are. No one's yet taught them to mask it so that others won't be bothered. We need believers who are genuine, who aren't trying to, you know, put a package on the gospel, trying to put a package on their faith, trying to make it presentable, who aren't afraid to just be who they are in Christ. Do you realize that Jesus saved you? He saved you. And there's a lot about you that is still good. The sin piece has to die. That's what it is to be saved. But your personality is not sin. And there are people who think they got to completely change who they are. We need different personalities in the church. Because we're a body. If everybody was the same personality, it'd be real boring real fast. Unless that personality that we all were was energetic, you know, and then it would just be real weird real fast. We need a balance of people. We need to be we need to be genuine. Kids, in this same subject, kids are trusting. When it comes to being in a relationship with God, we need to be trusting. We learn not to trust, and we learn not to trust people for good reason. Especially as life progresses, our world is so wicked, you learn not to trust people real fast. But the thing is, we start to project that back on God. Well, I don't know if God's going to come through for me. So I'm going to get everything ready just in case he fails. We don't say it, but that's how we behave. I got everything in place. In case God doesn't do what he said he's going to do, I got a backup plan. And we don't want to trust God. Kids are trusting. The reason we have to have things like plan to protect, the reason we have to have all these policies in place to protect our kids, the reason is because kids are trusting. You put a kid in kids ministry, they're going to trust whatever adult is in that room. That's why we have to screen them and interview them and train them and get them ready so that when the kid trusts them, they are in fact trustworthy. Because kids are just, you're the adult, okay, cool. This is children. This is why we need to have the things we have. We learn not to trust. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 13, I think it's verse 7. Love always trusts. Kids get it. Kids get it. Do you realize that God trusted you? We don't think about that. Do you know that he trusts you again and again and again? Every time you come to him and repent of a sin, he forgives you. There's trust involved in that because he's left it, okay, I forgive you. You're probably going to sin again. But he won't behave as the, he's not, well, I don't believe it. Not until I see a change. When he sees the heart of repentance, he says, okay, I forgive you. He knows you're going to sin again too, but he forgives you. And he lets it be. He'll trust you. All right, I'm going to trust you. Love always trusts. God is going to trust you, even though you're not trustworthy. We're not trustworthy. That's why he sent Jesus. Love or kids are trusting and kids are honest, sometimes brutally honest. By the time we become adults, we learn to be less honest because we don't want to offend anyone. You get real creative about how you say things. Change the subject real subtly. If you want a real assessment of a situation as a kid. How do I look today? Well, my mom knows this, and she'll go to my sister and ask, you know, how do I look? And my sister will give her a real brutal answer or something. She'll just be right to the point. No, that doesn't work. You need to change. Okay. I'm not like that. I've learned to be less honest. Looks great. You look great. Yeah, it's great. It's very you. I say that to my dad. That's my mom. But kids will be honest. Here's the thing. Again, I told you, this is about how we are, especially towards God. We need to be honest. You get so good at making things up. You get so good at covering it up for people. You know, people ask you on Sunday morning how you're doing. Yeah, good. Yeah, good. Doing good. You notice I don't do that? Gets me in trouble. How you doing? Well, all right. And then you're like, just all right? You weren't supposed to pick up on that. Yeah, just all right. When we come to God, though, you know, we come to him. That's the opportunity we have to tell him, you know, anything. And I mean anything. God's a big enough God. He can handle it. But we come to him and say, well, I'm going to phrase it this way. I'm going to ask it this way. If I package my request this way, maybe God will hear it. He loves our honesty, especially towards him. He loves it when we come and tell him how much life is miserable for us right now, and we're just not very happy. He doesn't need the Christian version of that. He looks at you and goes, I know. Have you read the Psalms? Have you read the way David interacts with God? There are times when he just gets all upset at God. And life sucks, and I wish it was. You notice he always ends it properly? Because here's the thing. When we pray and we get honest with Jesus, his love moves in. It's funny because we put up this wall and we're afraid to come. But if you just said anything to him, if you just let it go, I tell people, if you're really, really angry, pray. And not like the prayer where you're like, dear Jesus, thank you for this day. And I'm not trying to make fun of prayer, but we get so prescribed and so scripted in how we come before God. But if you just sat there and just let it go, you know, his grace and his love is enough to consume that. God isn't going to come back from that. You were rude. His love consumes that. And when his love moves in, you feel better. And immediately you're going to change what you're saying. It just comes. Wow, you're a good God. When you're in the presence of God, sometimes you got to let it out of yourself so that his presence can come in. The thing is, we pray about it every Sunday morning. God, we want your presence to be here. Did you know his presence is here always? And I know what we're praying. It's okay. I'm not trying to speak against that. What the issue is we're just not paying attention. And I like to say, God, would you let us be attentive to the fact that you're in the room? Like, let us pay attention to the fact that you're here. We pay attention to how our week's gone. We pay attention to what we're wearing. We pay attention to what the person next to us is wearing. We pay attention to, you know, the time. We're running late. Oh, man. I want cake. Coffee and cake. Hurry up. And we lose the focus. If we would get honest and just pay attention, kids are genuine. If something's not right, a kid's going to tell you. Have you ever said something and kids are, and they're learning? I used to drive school bus. The youngest kids were always the ones that told me things. You know, I'd say something, that's not what my teacher said. well, excuse me. They'll tell me how to drive because that's how their parents drive, you know. And I tell them that, well, the school bus can't go over 100. So I don't care how your parents drive. We're stuck at 98. I drove a rural run before you worry. Like, why are we going 98? Out of town. Kids are dependent. Kids are genuine. And thirdly, kids are free. And here, some of you are like, they're not free. Clearly, you've never had children. No, I haven't. But I'm not talking about their cost. I'm talking about their liberty. Kids are free. You learn to take things on. You learn to restrict yourself. Life gives you reason to do that. Kids are free. Not like buy one, get one free, but more like they're liberated, not bound by fear or prejudice, but free to experience all that the world has to offer. You know that kids don't get, I'm talking about young kids, they have to be taught prejudice. They don't get it right away. I loved my youngest kids on the bus because they would get along with anybody. It didn't matter who you were. If they noticed a difference in your culture, they'd ask you about it. There was no prejudice. Tell me about you. Kids are free. They aren't held down by things. Everything is an adventure and everything is new. They are not bound by an opinion or education or time. Kids have no concept of time. Sorry, there's a lot of bus analogies this morning because that's where I dealt with the kids a lot. It was always a forever ride. Always. And for whatever reason, the one kindergarten student I picked up, he rode for 40 minutes in the morning and 40 minutes in the afternoon. It was always forever. Oh, it takes so long to get home. Are we there yet? They have no concept of time. And so you learned, yeah, we're almost there. You couldn't say, you know, 5 more minutes. Like, wow, 5 more minutes. Children have no understanding of time. This is why we say time flies. No, you just understand it now. Kids just had no idea. Like a week was an eternity. This is why camp was so overwhelming to young kids. Like, so long. Who are my parents? This translates into being positive rather than negative. To seeing the bright side more readily. A child doesn't look at the future as scary. It's just an opportunity to learn. Oh, there's new things. Kids love school. I mean, you learn not to like that. They enjoy it. I'm learning. There's so many new things to learn. We need to get this inside of us, this freedom. This translates into children being full of energy. We need the church to be a little more full of energy. What if we came to church free? And sometimes you got to come here to find it. That's okay. We're not like, I'm not telling you, don't ever hear me say this. I'm not telling you, you've got to be free before you get here. Because he says, come to me if you're burdened. And it'd be good if you came, you know, just for your own benefit. But if coming here is what takes that away, fine, that's good. I know Pastor Mel would welcome you here. I know that. Because we're not looking for you to fix your life before you get here. We want you to be in the room. Because here's the beautiful thing. There's other people in the room. That's why you gather in church. I tell you, you don't gather in church to give God glory because he's everywhere. You don't need to be here. It's not like we're coming to meet him here. He's wherever we are. You come here to be with everybody else. And together to give him glory because there's a together that's beautiful. It's the together part that's amazing. Because somebody beside you is having an awful week and you're standing there praising God. Your hands are raised because you're just lost. You're free. You're in worship. You're full of energy. And they're sitting there and they're being blessed by you. Like when Paul and Silas were in prison and they were singing hymns and praise to God. And the entire jail was free. Earthquake came, everyone's chains fell off. I love that as an analogy. I like to think of it that way. Come to church. If you're having a great time, you worship God. It's more beautiful if you're not having a great time and you worship God, because then you're offering a real sacrifice. Because you know what? He's still good when your life's falling apart. He is. We had that this week at camp. He hit the third day and you're like, oh, so tired. We're in pre-service prayer and we wanted to just take a group nap, standing up. But we pushed through because we know that God had to do something, and he did. It's a powerful thing. His presence hit and we had energy. I mean, we were okay again. And we came out of chapel more awake and more refreshed than we went into it, because his presence was there. You get tired. And I remember I had to make a conscious decision, and I'm apologizing for the time now. I had to make a conscious decision. I'm not going to change anything. I'm just apologizing. I had to make a conscious decision to worship him. I said, God, I'm too tired, but I'm going to sing this anyway. I had to convince myself. Convince yourself. We need to be more like children, free. We know that kids are full of energy, and we know that we certainly are not. Let's seek to have a spiritual life that's full of energy. Apathy is a killer. A lack of desire to do anything translates into inaction. I don't want to do it. I just don't want to. Push past. If you don't want to, sing anyway. Just sing. Even if you sing out of tune, it's okay. Just sing. It's okay. I'll just sing louder than you. No, it's okay. Just bring it to him. Find that freedom. I'm closing here. There's nothing wrong with striving for greatness, as long as we understand that the only way to achieve that is by humbling ourselves to be like children. One more thing that came to me this week when we were at camp. I had already written this before camp, and I was sitting there going, thinking about all week, I was thinking about children. I was thinking how God, it was little Clementine that was most encouraging to me. She was at camp. She always had this joy. Just every morning, actually after every nap time, like just joy. She'd smile. Every time she'd come into the kitchen, the thing she learned this week was to wave, which for her is like this, but it was cute. And I remember she would just encourage me, because I was thinking about this message and thinking, we need to be like children. Like, she could do nothing without mom and dad. That's why I was in the same building as them. And so we'd in 3 a.m. and she'd cry. That was all she could do. Oh, I better be careful. I could preach on that. Sometimes all you could do is cry. But I thought about something. Jace shared something in one of our services, and it triggered an idea for me. Kids like to share, specifically about their parents. Don't they? They're always telling you about their parents. If you listen to them interact with each other, they're comparing parents. You know, like, it happens. I've heard it. Now, here's the thing. They like to share good news. They're always excited to tell you something. They've always got a good story. And it could mean absolutely nothing to you as an adult, but you're like, oh, good for you. They're so pumped about it. We need to be that way about Jesus. Like, let's embrace this like a child attitude and get excited and say, Do you know who my dad is? I want you to meet him. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're getting passionate about who he is, like children. Nothing hindering us. Genuine, free, dependent on God. And we're saying, do you know who my dad is? I want you to meet my dad. I want you to meet him. Let me bring you to my family reunion on a Sunday morning. We're gonna meet with dad. You never thought about it that way. Children want to share. We don't want to share. It would be too awkward. I don't want you to, if you saw me get really free in worship, I don't want you to see that. Oh, come on. Come meet my dad. The children want to share. That one wasn't in my notes, so sorry, Yoon. If we want to enter the kingdom of God, we're going to need to achieve the level of vulnerability that comes with childhood. I encourage you to answer the question of whether or not you have changed to become like little children, or if you understand what it is to take their lowly position. To take the lowly position of a child, that is what it is to be the greatest. In light of what I've said this morning, in light of my sermon this morning, I want you to hear this. I want you to try to be the greatest in this context. I want you to humble yourself. I want you to get what it is. The gospel is so simple, kids get it. This next week, I'm entering into a kids camp. Just finished teen camp. I'm doing kids camp now. Love kids, especially kids camp. Because they get so passionate about it. They're so eager to learn. Memory verses are like so much fun to a child. We need to become like children. How about you approach God like a child? Free, dependent on Him, genuine. Why don't we come before Him this morning?